I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle moon on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here in Monterey, California. We're so grateful that you're able to join us today for another wonderful show. Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the promoter producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds October 21st and 22nd. So if you haven't been to the Rhoda Psychic Fair in a while, or if you have and are ready to come back, go visit rhodapsychicfair.com. Take a look at the readers and healers that are going to be there. The vendors will be getting the lectures up there shortly. And everything is moving forward to that early Halloween celebration on the 21st and 22nd of October, so we can take advantage of that time when the veils between the worlds are thin and have some fun. And speaking of fun, every show I love to start with Day by Day with James Allen. Now, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh, in 1903. He wanted to let us know that our present reality is a direct outcome of our past thoughts, intentions, habits, and beliefs. But our past thoughts, intentions, habits, and beliefs don't predict our future. Our future is created right now, in the moment, every day. We can shift everything from the past by shifting our thoughts, habits, intentions, and beliefs right now, every day, to create a new future. So I like to share from Day by Day with James Allen because his words have been broken up into a little segment for each day of the month. And today, for the 18th day of September, he says, definitely directed thought. All achievements, whether in the business, intellectual, or spiritual world, are the result of definitely directed thoughts. And he shares a story about young John Goddard, who, when he was 15 years old, he created a list of 127 life goals. Now, he's very, very senior, over into his 70s now, and he's accomplished at least 109 of those original 127 goals, plus 300 others that he set along the way. Now, he's not a man of wealth or means, but he would set a goal and he would work toward it and he would accomplish it. He would set new goals and he kept that going. He's climbed the Matterhorn, Ararat, Kilimanjaro, Fiji, Rainier, the Grand Tetons. He's been to 120 countries. He's explored the underwater reefs of Florida, the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, the Red Sea. He visited the Great Wall of China, the Okefenokee Swamp in Georgia, the Everglades in Florida. He's flown 47 different types of aircraft and set several civilian airspeed records, including one at 1,500 miles an hour. He flew an F-106 to an altitude of 63,000 miles, making him the only civilian to pilot an aircraft that high, a record which he still holds. So the real point is, where are you directing your thoughts? All achievements, whether in the business, intellectual, or spiritual world, are the result of definitely directed thought. And as we know in a previous reading that we've shared, it's not so much your skill set. It's not your background, your education, how you were raised, or where you were raised. The most significant element to your success is your persistence. So where are you directing your thoughts as we come on the countdown of September in 2017? And where are you persisting? One of the things I do every day that I share every show is I look at the daily affirmation in the Daily Word put out by Unity Corporation. And today, for the September 18th, it says, I walk a path of divine light and wisdom. And what I like to believe when I read something like that is that divine light and wisdom is about us in the day, in each day, experiencing something, learning something, exploring something internally, becoming wiser than we were the day before. It doesn't have to be a big, profound wisdom. It can be a small wisdom. But I walk a path of divine light, and wisdom tells me that I am opening myself up to the divine being that I already am inside, and I'm bringing that out. To help you with that, not only do we have our special guest today, but I want to remind folks we have a quarterly preview coming up on the 29th of September at the Monterey Elks Lodge. You can find out information on the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com. So when you walk your path of divine light and wisdom, you can be informed about the influences that are in play so you can make better informed choices about your life. Speaking about informed choices, let's get to our special guest today. Joyce Day Muse was born and raised in Washington, D.C., where she developed an early interest in astrology, and she would observe family and friends. She would read everything she could. And upon moving to the Central Coast of California, she met a practicing astrologer who generously shared his knowledge with her. And she also met an aura reader who taught classes based on the curriculum of the Berkeley Psychic Center. So in 1980, Joyce was ordained as a metaphysical minister who could give readings, healings, and consultations. 37 years later, Joyce has become a fixture at local psychic fairs. She's done thousands of readings. She's taught metaphysical and astrology classes to hundreds of people and performed numerous weddings. She's hosted many radio shows over the year, and she specializes in quick, on-the-spot readings as well as longer, in-depth consultations. And she plans to continue to give readings and be of service to those who need clarity, guidance, encouragement, and support for as long as she's able. Now, we're grateful that Joyce is able to join us here on the third Monday of each month, right here on Good Vibrations Radio. So let's welcome Joyce Muse and Your Lucky Stars. But first, a little musical introduction for her.
We are the travelers on the road. We are the travelers on the road, drinking the sunshine, bathing the moonlight, guided by starlight, warmed by the glow of the hearts of families, returning to their home. Vanishing like the stars in the early morning dawn to roam.
Well, welcome, Joyce.
Thank you, Salazar. That was entertaining.
Yes. Well, I know you love that music from Peter, and it's beautiful piece.
I know. I just fell in love with his songs when I met him. And I haven't stopped loving them.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
So how are you doing on this September 18th Monday leading to a new moon?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm enjoying life. I love this time of year when the angle of the sun, you know, moves to a more golden glow. And I'm really glad we're out of our heat wave. That was intense.
Yeah,
I mean, other people had it worse, of course. And last time we talked was on the August 21st solar eclipse. So that's your pack to wallop, I must say. I mean, it's not even over yet. So people, I mean, assume, I used to assume, well, if it's an eclipse, something's going to happen that day. But no, it happens in the days following. And we sure saw that with Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma and the fires in the West. I mean, they're still burning. And the poor Caribbean, I guess, is getting another hurricane as we speak. It's kind of been quite an intense period following that eclipse. And I assign it to the eclipse. You know, it wasn't the North American eclipse for nothing. You know, when an eclipse crosses your path, it affects you more. So we really saw that here. And, you know, it can continue for 6 months or even longer. Like, what's happening today is there's a planet, Venus, the planet of love and beauty, is hitting the eclipse point. So every time a planet hits the degree of the eclipse, it can kind of reset it off. So that's been going on this month. It's not just like the eclipse came and went, but the other closer planets, Mars was on the eclipse. What else is on the eclipse? Jupiter is on the eclipse point. Today, Venus is on the eclipse point. We had Mercury and Mars at the same time in early September on the eclipse point. So that's a hot degree. And that'll continue being a hot degree. Whenever anything hits the 28th degree of Leo, it's hitting the eclipse point. So that's when we can, you know, kind of get a new flash of eclipse energy.
Mm.
And the people who were born on August 21st or February 20th, around there, they're also set up in their lives for tremendous change because the eclipse hit their sun. And for the next 6 months to a year, that's a hot point. So it's interesting. You know, you try not to scare people. Oh, there's an eclipse on your sun. Oh, my God. But if I had an eclipse on my sun, you know, I would tread lightly, be cautious, those kinds of things. But life is life, and, you know, we have difficult times, we have good times. It's all a learning experience. So we're through our big eclipse month, and now we're into beautiful September. You know, even though Venus is on the eclipse degree today, you know, that could just be more revelations and things like that. Tomorrow, Venus leaves Leo and the eclipse degree and moves into Virgo. So right now, we have a lot of planets in Virgo. The sun's in Virgo. The new moon tomorrow is in Virgo, but the moon's already in Virgo today. Mercury's in Virgo. Mars is in Virgo. So we're in our Virgo time of year, which the kids go back to school. You know, it's time to get organized for the second half of the year. Summer's definitely over. And that's really true when we have the autumn equinox on the 22nd. So the standouts this week are the new moon in Virgo on Tuesday and the sun entering Libra on the autumn equinox on Friday. So this week is really an important week in the stars. So the new moon tomorrow in the later degrees of Virgo is a great time to start new projects. You know, we're through with that old Mercury retrograde. That's all done and even the eclipse energy can start to be waning. We can only hope. So the big news with all these planets in Virgo is they're making an opposition to the planet Neptune in Pisces. So Neptune spends 20 to 25 years in a sign. It's a really slow-moving planet. So we're not going to get rid of Neptune in Pisces anytime soon. So every year when the sun and the personal planets move through Virgo, they're going to make an opposition to Neptune. So it has its good qualities and it has its not so good qualities. The good qualities are kindness, compassion, sensitivity. When the moon and Mercury and Mars are all opposing Neptune, you know, we can be softer and more sensitive. Our intuition can be stronger. But also we have to beware of con men and people lying and cheating. And Neptune is that, you know, I don't know the words, where you manipulate the truth and you make things hard to read or you misinterpret them. So with planets opposing Neptune, we do need to watch out for scams and, you know, people trying to fool us in some way or another.
I was going to say, would it be fair to say then, because of, you know, that Neptune and Pisces energy, is that we're actually going to be a little bit more open, which is partly why we're going to be probably more intuitive, more sensitive, more understanding of things unspoken. But that's also why we may be more available to be manipulated or conned, because we're going to be more trusting at the same time.
Well, we can even con ourselves, you know, with Neptune. Things seem better than they are. We're more susceptible to fantasy and illusions.
So is that why... I was going to say, is that why I bought that bridge?
Probably. And we're also more susceptible to romance, you know, which if you're of the age where you're susceptible to romance, it can be a good thing. But it can also be, again, an illusionary thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we may be attracted to someone that we're projecting good things onto that aren't really like that at all. So, you know, we do need to be more cautious. With our own sensitivity, it'd be easier to get our feelings hurt. And, you know, just susceptible to our own projections and fantasies and illusions. I mean, that's, everything has a good side and a bad side. I mean, the good side is, maybe we decide to be more spiritual and meditate and do works of kindness and charity. I mean, Neptune is really the most spiritual planet. You know, it's they say there's three prongs to Neptune, like on the trident, Neptune's trident. Mm-hmm. You know, one represents fantasy and illusion. One represents chaos and, you know, deception. And the other one represents our highest ideals. So, you know, we can try to bend our lives towards the spiritual. The other thing is creativity. Neptune is also the influence of beauty and harmony and art, music, dance, poetry, writing, all of those things. So all of the creative arts can be enhanced by Neptune. And okay. I think one of the things going on with our country is that the USA's progressed sun is being transited by Neptune. So maybe that's why we were so easily fooled by the Russians, while we were manipulated and conned, was part of this long Neptune transit of the USA's sun. And also, you know, half the people believe it, half the people don't. It's it's very confusing. Truth is confusing. Reality is confusing.
Well, isn't that part of, I was going to say, isn't that part of where you said under Neptune, we can deceive ourselves. So there's a whole, potentially there's a group of people that are just deceiving themselves based on what they choose to believe and not believe.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You know, we've been deceived by others and maybe chosen to believe what we wanted to believe. And I don't think we're finished with that process. So Neptune's a big influence and Pluto is a big influence.
Mm.
You know, Pluto is the powerful planet of transformation and change. And when Pluto hits you, you know you've been run over by a Mack truck. it's not a gentle transit. Like Neptune can be gentle. Neptune can unfocus you and unground you. But Pluto, you know, picks up a 2x4 and hits you across the front of the head.
Hmm.
So Pluto has been moving through Capricorn. And it's actually going to station direct on the 28th of September. So anytime that powerful planet stations retrograde or stations direct, it's an important time. So now it's stationing direct. It's been in the same couple of degrees for months and months and months. It's been retrograde probably for 5 months. So now it's turning around from our perspective, and beginning to go direct. So we can expect the end of this month, something ends. An ending, a letting go, an irreversible transformation. Pluto requires sacrifice, purging, reorganization, metamorphosis. So that's powerful. It may be subtle or it may be really obvious what we have to let go of. So that's on the 28th, Pluto stations direct. And if you have planets in water or earth around the 17th degree, or even air and fire, because it can affect you too, it's that 17th degree that's highlighted. So Pluto at the 17th degree of Capricorn is very important. And again, for the USA, the USA is a Cancer sun. And the USA has Pluto in Capricorn, where Pluto is now. So the USA is getting ready for its first Pluto return. So it's been 240-some years since Pluto was born in the chart of the USA. And so the USA has the sun in the sign opposite Pluto. And for the last few years, we've had transiting Pluto opposite the USA's sun. So I think that's why we see our whole political system, electional system, being transformed and going through metamorphosis. It's like I've said before, it's akin to right before the Revolutionary War, when people were getting tired of paying taxes to the British. They were getting tired of having to house the British in their homes. You know, it was a time of growing frustration with the status quo, and we're seeing that again. I think what's going on with, you know, this maybe illegal election we went through, the influence of the Russians, all of that stuff is setting us up to remake our systems, to transform our systems. I think Harvard or some important school just did a study on the American political system and why it doesn't work, and how we need to change it. So that would be part of a Pluto transformation for the USA. But in our personal lives, you know, if that Pluto's hitting your chart, your sun, your moon, even in a positive way, it says you have to make a change. So that's happening. And let's look at the chart of the autumn equinox, because that's one of the four times of the year that we turn. The wheel of the year turns. So we're going to leave Virgo and enter the cardinal sign of Libra. So we always do that on the autumn equinox. That's what it is. We leave Virgo and enter into Libra. We leave summer and enter into fall. We begin the third quarter of the year if you make the spring equinox the beginning of the year. It's funny that we start our year January 1st. The natural year starts March 21st, the spring equinox. Then we have the summer solstice, the highlight of the summer. Then we have the autumn equinox. So we're starting the third quarter of the year. And then the winter solstice is the fourth quarter when the sun enters into Capricorn. So this year on the autumn equinox on Friday, the sun is in Libra, of course. The moon is in Scorpio. And that foreshadows we're moving into a transit of Jupiter through Scorpio. So we're going to have Scorpio energy beginning in October that stays with us for 13 months. And this autumn equinox chart says we're more aware of international affairs, connections with people from other countries, cultures, people different from ourselves. All of that is important. Learning, teaching, traveling is favorable. Saturn is in the 11th house of friends and goals for the future. So maybe instead of dwelling on the past, we need to be in the present making plans for the future. You know, how do we change things that aren't working, you know, in our politics and in our lives? Capricorn is rising in this chart. The third house of imagination and communication has Uranus in it. So also September, this month, we're having the final exact opposition between Jupiter, the lucky planet, and Uranus, the planet of sudden and unexpected change. So it's already close. Jupiter is close to an exact opposition. It's 1 degree away, and it's exact on the 27th. So that's a little more than a week away. So that's the final hit of this major aspect we've had through the last 13 months. Jupiter opposing Uranus. Expansion opposing surprises and breaking up of structure.
Mm.
So it's been quite a ride.
It's clear in the rearview mirror to see how it really hit all of us, as a country. And so, and everybody can look at their own lives to see how it hit them personally. But it's clear to see how it affected us.
Right. So the good news, here's the good news. Jupiter is entering a new sign on October 10th. So we're finally going to get a break from that Jupiter in Libra and its opposition to Uranus. So, I mean, that can be exciting, Jupiter opposite Uranus, but it can also be unsettling. And, you know, so many of us have this anxiety and depression and despair since the last election. So Jupiter changing signs, maybe we're going to move on. You know, hopefully there'll be a good reason to move on. But Jupiter moving into Scorpio is just going to change the energy of our lives, especially beneficial to the earth signs and the water signs. So what whatever was forged when Jupiter was in Libra is either solidified or bites the dust when Jupiter goes into Scorpio. So we'll see what continues from 2017 into this new Scorpio, Jupiter-Scorpio transit. So people that were born with Jupiter in Scorpio, it's a good year for them. Scorpios, it's a good year for Scorpios, beginning October 10th, lasting 13 months. So Jupiter in Scorpio, I have a Scorpio moon. Salazar, you have a Scorpio moon. This is going to be good for us emotionally.
Well, about at time. Least,
I know. It's been quite a difficult year.
Yeah.
But Jupiter in Scorpio, you know, is going to increase our psychic intuition. You know, we're going to be less susceptible to that deception and illusion that Neptune's brought us. And, you know, we're going to be more expansive and inspired emotionally. I mean, my top of the head thought is, our spirit's going to be improved. Our mood is going to be improved. You know, we're going to be more optimistic, especially earth and water signs. So, you know, generally people have a bad interpretation of Scorpio because of its intensity. It's the most intense sign of the zodiac. So when Jupiter's in Scorpio, maybe things are going to be more intense, but I think with a positive outcome, with a positive purpose. So, you know, things will be brought to light. They'll come out of the darkness. And, you know, maybe long hidden secrets will be revealed. So, and also because Neptune is like semi-permanently in Pisces, Jupiter is going to be trining Neptune all year. So that's harmony and balance between the planet of expansion and opportunity and the planet of confusion and spirituality and creativity. So I think we're going to see creative expressions rising in depth and in intensity. So, and I think that fervor, that spirit of change, transformation, and revolution will be aided by Jupiter in Scorpio. I mean, it's going to do good things for me because it's my moon, and it's going to do good things for you because it's your moon, but also everybody has a house in their chart where Jupiter is. So if you have Scorpio rising, Jupiter's going to run through your first house, inspiring and expanding you. If you have Scorpio in the second house, more money. What could be better? Job opportunities. In the third house, greater imagination, intensity and depth in our thinking. Jupiter in the fourth house, greater security in your home with your family. Jupiter in the fifth house, greater expansion in your creativity and enjoyment of children and ability to take risks and maybe even be more athletic. You know, Jupiter in the sixth should help with health. Now, Jupiter is not all good all the time. Everything has its shadow side. And the shadow side of Jupiter is too much of a good thing. So Jupiter could go in your sixth house and an illness could be revealed. But Jupiter gives you the strength and the stamina, and in Scorpio, the ability to regenerate yourself. So health issues, of course, happen every year, but it's if you have a sixth house Scorpio, it's going to bring that to light. It could also mean improvements in your work situation. If you have Scorpio in the seventh house, increased relationships, more helpful people in your life, Your star rises. People notice you more. Jupiter in the eighth, you might get an inheritance. Jupiter in the ninth, you may write a book. You may lecture. You may teach. Jupiter in the tenth, career opportunity or expansion of your reputation and standing in the world. You know, Jupiter in the 11th, great new friends, happy, exciting social life. Jupiter in the 12th, you get to spend time alone in seclusion, being introspective, and maybe getting really clear on who you are at the root of your being. Could be a very spiritual year. So Jupiter in Scorpio, there's a change. There's a change in the wind, and it's coming in October.
So well, that's big. That's powerful. That made me feel good.
Yes, yes. You know, maybe our side will win for a change.
But it seems to me, coming off that August 21st eclipse, too, that this is like further even though it's not specifically eclipse directed, it's the further unrolling of the transformation going forward, because we are making major shifts in the energetic direction based on where the planets are going.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so things have been heavy. Things have been up in the air. Things have been uncertain. And it seems like we're going to get our feet planted back on the ground.
Oh, we will. I'm sure we will. Like I said, it's like just before the Revolutionary War. We're just before that. And I think Jupiter's going to help bring out more clarity on deceptions and the crimes that went on in the 2016 election.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the 2016 election was all about Pluto opposite the USA's sun. Pluto square the USA's Saturn. You know, it's like we had to go to the bottom of the barrel so we could come back up. And that's my hope. And when I look at the planets, I kind of see that story unfolding. But again, Neptune and Pluto, they're the two strong planets now and for a long time. Because Neptune is not even in the middle of Pisces, and Pluto's just in the middle of Capricorn. This first step is Jupiter changing signs in October. And then Saturn has been in Sagittarius for the last 2.5 years. So we're just at the tail end of Saturn in Sagittarius, which, you know, puts pressure on us mentally, philosophically, energetically. We've really had to examine our beliefs and how our beliefs create our reality. So Saturn's going to make this big step in December, December 20th. I know that's beyond our call, but it's just such a big deal that Saturn's going to leave Sagittarius and enter into Capricorn. So we're ending the Saturn in Sagittarius of 2015, 16, and 17, and moving on to Saturn in Capricorn. So much more earthy, much more practical. We'll probably get to rebuild a lot that's being destroyed now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll get practical and set goals and take steps to achieve goals personally and as a nation and as a world. So maybe we're going to get more pragmatic about dealing with terrorism and those issues that are just making life so difficult. So, you know, change, that's what it's all about. That's what it's always been all about. And it continues to be all about. So we're going to have Mars is in Virgo right now. So they say cooler heads prevail. So today, and for the next few days, Mars is opposing Neptune, which is that chaos and confusion. You know, are we going to bomb North Korea? Are they going to bomb us? And then the Mars is going to trine Pluto on October 1st. So that's a powerful transit, but it's not necessarily let's make war transit. And then Mars is going to square Saturn on October 11th. So Mars is busy while it's in productive Virgo. And then, so our new moon, we haven't talked about the new moon, have we? So that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the sun and moon are together in Virgo, and the, you know, third to last degree of Virgo. So we've got five planets in Virgo on the new moon. So what's that say? Clean up our messes. Let's clean up our messes. Let's clean up our thinking. Let's pay attention to our health. It's a great time to work on personal health and healing. The new moon and the sun are opposite the planetary body Chiron. Now, Chiron isn't a planet. It's a visiting body to our solar system that was discovered in 1977. But at some point, it's going to be thrown back out of our solar system. So it's a temporary visitor, and temporary could be thousands of years. So the sun opposite Chiron, the moon opposite Chiron. Chiron they call the wounded healer. It speaks of our childhood wounds. So that new moon and sun in Virgo opposing Chiron says, we just got to stand up and deal with our pain. We've got to stand up and deal with our hurts and our problems. Maybe we have to stand up and deal with what went wrong in our country. So we have the opportunity for healing. And that healing doesn't mean there's no pain. I mean, sometimes the pain forces us to do the healing. So, you know, the new moon tomorrow, or it's on the 20th, so that's Wednesday. No, it's Tuesday here. It's Wednesday back east. So Tuesday night, late at night, 10:30 p.m., we get to start anew, and the emphasis is on Virgo, which is bringing order out of chaos. So we get more orderly, and we think more orderly, and we can make lists, and we can cross off the items on our list and make progress, as long as we don't get bogged down in our emotional pain. So don't do that.
You know, it struck me. Let me know if this is with so many planets in Virgo and then the new moon in Virgo. And with everything you've said leading up to this, it seems like it's a good time for people to really take tomorrow and maybe even Wednesday to do some forward planning of the shifts they'd like to see in their lives as some of that other energy starts coming in. Because we've got that Virgo, which likes to look at the details, likes to look at things in a very pragmatic and practical way. And I think it's a good time to take advantage of that energy while we have so much of it at one time.
Definitely. And don't forget, it's the healing sign. So all forms of healing are on the table. You know, maybe a walk in the sunshine, being in nature, Virgo. You know, Virgo has the reputation of being detail-oriented and analytical, but it's also the sign of the Earth Mother. So it's a real nature sign, and it reminds us that we're all children of nature, and we need to appreciate our Mother Earth and take time to, you know, have our feet on the ground and our head, you know, exposed to the sky. So I think it's a very spiritual time, even though it's a practical Earth planet. So we can do both, you know, head in the sky, feet on the ground.
I like that.
Very earthy.
Yeah, I like that.
And this Jupiter-Uranus final opposition we're looking at, so what does that mean? It's like, where can we make or break with something it's time to let go of, along with Pluto stationing direct at the end of the month? You know, we have opportunities to go deep and to make progress. And Jupiter in Libra, we've been wanting to have good relationships with people. You know, we've been wanting to be more social and just improve our interactions with other people. So until October 10th, that's still in effect. So, you know, what is it that we want to expand as far as our relationships with people? So that's kind of an Uranus. You know, Uranus is going to change signs next year too. I mean, this energy we've been in with Uranus in Aries, Pluto in Capricorn, and Neptune in Pisces, it's going to shift. Jupiter's going to shift. Uranus is going to shift next year and actually go into Taurus. I mean, it comes back out again. It's not totally finished with Aries, but at least we start to see the ending of that seven-year cycle that's been really hot and fiery. Because when Uranus moves into Taurus, which is in May 2018, you know, we get that more substance-oriented, earthy sign that where we can really make physical changes, visible changes. So that's kind of exciting too. So the beauty of astrology is just seeing how this you know, cosmic interaction between the planets is always changing. The things that are solid are the equinoxes and solstices. Every year on the autumn equinox, the sun goes into Libra. Every year on the winter solstice, the sun goes into Capricorn. So those are fixed and solid. But the transits of the planets are not. You know, Uranus was in Aries 70 years ago. We can look back to the 30s and see what was similar to now. Neptune was in Pisces last, you know, 240 years ago. So, you know, as you can look at the historical record, what happened the last time Neptune was in Pisces? What happened the last time Pluto was in Capricorn? Well, we Americans know what happened the last time Pluto was in Capricorn. We created the United States of America. You know, and it came through a lot of challenges and effort and hard work and death and destruction and rejuvenation and renewal. So we're in that Pluto cycle again that we were in when we began this country. So it's scary, it's challenging, but it's exciting and will ultimately be positive and rewarding. So, you know, the sun moves through a sign in a month, and the planets that travel close to the sun are Mercury, Venus, and Mars. So right now we have that lineup of five planets in Virgo, but 1 month from now, let's see. So if I move it a month from now, you know, we have, well, let's see. Let me go back a few days because we go through our Libra cycle. So as of the autumn equinox, the sun moves into Libra. Mercury will be in Libra. And eventually Venus and Mars will be in Libra. So we go through our more Libra time, where we're more intellectually oriented, we're more people-oriented, we can be more into wanting to bring balance into life. That's the whole key of Libra, balance. The symbol for Libra is the scales. Not too much this way, not too much that way. We're always trying to find that perfect balance where we feel centered. So that's what's coming up while the sun goes into Libra, Venus goes into Libra, and eventually Mars will go into Libra after it leaves Virgo. So when is that? So Mars goes into Libra October 23rd. So Libra and Scorpio are coming up. We're leaving Leo and Virgo behind soon. But don't you love the fall? The fall is my favorite season. We have a full moon, the harvest moon, on October 5th. When the sun in Libra is balanced by the moon in Aries. And that's kind of beautiful. We have the sun square Pluto on October 9th. That's kind of a dicey day. You can expect some big earthquake-like happenings, not necessarily a physical earthquake, but maybe a political earthquake or a power struggle of some kind. And then that lovely October 10th when Jupiter hits Scorpio. And then Venus goes into Libra October 14th. We get the new moon in Libra October 19th. Mm. And the sun and moon are both opposite Uranus on the new moon October 19th. That's an intense day. That's a day to wear your lead boots. Uranus is such an electric energy, and people will be erratic and unpredictable. You may be erratic and unpredictable, but at least you need to, you know, avoid depending on people to be necessarily grounded and practical. People are going to be very erratic and unpredictable. And then we have the wonderful psychic fair October 21st and 22nd. That's going to be great. So that's the weekend the sun leaves Libra and goes into Scorpio. So that's kind of nice. And then Halloween, well, October 22nd, the sun goes into Scorpio. October 31st is our wonderful favorite holiday day of mine, Halloween.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, so that's a great day. The moon changes from Pisces into Aries on the 31st. So the thing about Halloween this year is don't make rigid plans. It's a void of course moon, so anything can happen. Mm. Again, it's a little unpredictable. And, you know, you may start out in one direction and end up in another. Like my little granddaughter, Hope, she'll get all dressed up for Halloween and get out there in the neighborhood and see the other kids and get scared to death and want to immediately go home. Aww. Doesn't even get a piece of candy. It's just too scary, all those zombies and, you know, costumed people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to be flexible on Halloween. But I'm really looking forward to the quarterly preview that's coming up on the 29th. And then we have the psychic fair on the October 21st and 22nd. So I love the fall.
Yeah, it's two great opportunities for people to get more information from you as well as Kirilani with the vibrational numerology. And I'll be doing the tarot this time. And
okay.
With the psychic fair, like by moving it back from the Halloween weekend, I'm hoping we could actually stretch out our Halloween celebration by starting early.
Well, they do it in the school.
Yeah.
You know, my in-laws live up in Washington State, and this last weekend they had a zombie walk.
Oh my goodness!
All the kids all dressed up as zombies. And walked through the town. It was you know, it's September.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not even in Libra yet. So it's you know, it's a whole season. I think Halloween is so popular, especially for the youngsters and for some of us oldsters.
Well, what I love about what you shared, though, astrologically, is that I think Halloween really represents, besides the fact that it was the final harvest, but it really represents the time for all of us to go in and take a look at our shadow side. And I think you shared that with the transformations coming, with the energies coming, it's a good time when you said, heal ourselves, clean out the dreck, get it out of the way, and start really having some fun with your life if you're not having fun at the moment.
Well, I think a lot of us were flummoxed by the election and the takeover of our government by a foreign power. I mean, that's not a little thing. And it can be quite depressing when you see what's going on in Washington. But, you know, we're moving into the season of rebirth and renewal, death and rebirth, endings and new beginnings. So maybe that'll happen in Washington too. You know, I keep anticipating it, but I can't do that. I just have to wait and see that it will happen when it's time to happen. And there must be, well, Robert Mueller and, you know, people in Congress that are going to deal with this and not just let it slip through. So, you know, it's been a tough year. It's almost a year since the election, and I think it's put a lot of us through changes. No more complacency.
That's it. That's our gift. More people are aware. Fewer people are complacent. I mean, that's the gift. It's terrible that we have to learn sometimes the hard way, but that. We're going to get there. I believe it. I don't, like you, I don't put any time frames. I don't have expectations of buy this or this must happen, because that's just crazy making thought process, because we can't control how it's going to roll out or what's going to roll out.
Right.
But I agree with you that we can be hopeful. We can use this energy to firm up the infrastructures within our own lives, to make that a pleasant place to be, regardless of what goes on outside of us. And we can also use that energy to make what's outside of us a much more pleasant place to be. So,
beautifully put.
I'm all for it, Joyce.
I'm all for it, too. I'm ready for a new beginning, a change,
so
a transformation.
Besides the quarterly preview and, of course, the Rhoda Psychic Fair, how can people get in touch with you?
I'm easily reached at 831-236-6572. That's 831-236-6572. And I've been doing more phone readings. I really, really like them. I don't have to put makeup on or get dressed. And I also do Skype readings where I do have to put makeup on and get dressed. But it's fun to do readings on Skype as well. And, I'll be at the quarterly preview and the Rhoda Psychic Fair and get to see everybody, all the smiling faces and open hearts. And we're really all in this together. It's really nice to come together and just celebrate life and metaphysics and friendship and even the dark side, the shadow side.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel an optimism as we enter into the fall season that things are going to improve. And we have to keep our sense of humor.
Yeah.
Most importantly, you know, if we can't laugh at the comedy that's being given us, what's the good of it? You know, we got to have a good time, enjoy it, and laugh. Not always be outraged and offended.
And who was it that
said?
Yeah, who was it that said we need to learn to laugh at ourselves, because after all, everybody else is laughing at us.
Right.
Well, Joyce, thank you once again for joining us, and we'll certainly see you next month, but we're going to see you before that on the 29th at the quarterly preview at the Monterey Elks Lodge. And so I want you to, you know, have a great day, and thank you for all your gifts and all that you share with us.
Thank you, Solazar. Bye-bye.
Bye. So we'll let folks know Good Vibrations Radio will be back on Monday. At that time, Kirilani will be doing the preview for the October energy. And we'll be playing that Monday as well as replaying that October 2nd. So the things coming up, Kirilani, Joyce just did a fabulous job of giving us that October layout of what's coming forward as well as the rest of September. This will be replayed on Metaphysical Musings on Sunday. Then Kirilani will give us October on the 25th of next month, next Monday on Good Vibrations Radio. That will play on Metaphysical Musings on Sunday, October 1st, and also replay October 2nd on Good Vibrations Radio. Pay attention to what's happening. And if you're in the Monterey area, come to the quarterly preview at the Monterey Elks Lodge Friday night, the 29th of September. Details are on the guest page of Good Vibrations Radio. I want to thank you so much for listening to Good Vibrations Radio with us today. And between now and the next time when we meet, turn the lead in your life into gold. Many blessings. Namaste.